Magics, we're weekend packers, and we love that's the right. game of golf. And I think
that's, I showed you guys that on the weekend.
Yes, you did. We'll get to that shortly.
Okay, so this week's guest comes from a bit of left field for golfing punters out there. This legend loves his golf, and whilst he's not a PGA professional, he is indeed an AFL Hall of Famer, debuting as an 18-year-old for Geelong, where he played 300 games and is a member of Geelong's Team of the Century. Joined the media when footy finished up and was part of the footy show from when it first aired in 1994. Commonly referred to as a controversial character, his real name is John, but we all know him as none other than Sam Newman. Welcome, Sam. How are you this evening?
Right, good, pretty good. Well, when I say pretty good, not pretty good, really. We're like battery hens at the minute here in Victoria or in Melbourne.
Yeah, I can. I've seen a bit of the commotion happening online around being in Melbourne at the moment, and unfortunately, I can't really.
Where are you?
Feel it, but we're in New South Wales, so
we're up Central Coast.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, north of Sydney, and we feel for you. I could see a lot of the happenings on social media, and definitely feel for the situation for you guys down there. But we've got a lot of members in our group from Victoria, so we thought we'd reach out and provide some entertainment for them whilst they're in lockdown. So again, thank you very much for joining
pleasure.
Us this evening. Much appreciated. All right, we'll chat a little bit about your career and your love of golf shortly, but if you don't mind, we've got a bit of an icebreaker that we like to call the quickfire par five. So it's five questions to reach the hole, one or two word answers, and we'll get it through. You ready?
I'm ready, mate. Yeah,
sounds good. Handicap, what's your handicap situation at the moment?
I think it's eight.
Eight? Very nice.
Yeah, it was.
Very handy. Good.
And I can tell you this, the last... Oh, we're gone, yep.
No, that's all right. Go for it.
The last round I played before the lockdown, the day before, I actually broke my age at the old course at the National, down here in the National Golf Course. There's three courses there, and I broke my age. I had 74, so off the stick.
Wow.
So
congratulations, man.
Well done. Well, that's an accomplishment to be cheered
that is.
For. Absolutely.
That's once a decade day. That
absolutely, yeah, sure. Mate. That's brilliant. I was going to. One of the questions we had for you a little later on. What's your proudest achievement? But I'd say we'd kick that one off right there. But if there's another one, we can get to that a little later if you want.
Golfing wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golfing wise. Yeah. Golfing wise.
Yeah, that's about it.
Oh, good. So eight handicap, fantastic. All right, so next question, number two. Par five, are you laying up or going for it in two?
Can never reach the par fives on any course I play, so I always just, not by design, just by the fact I have to.
Yep.
I can't get on that. Don't hit the ball far enough.
Yeah,
you must
fair
be
enough.
Dead straight. You must be straight down the field.
No, I'm pretty straight at it, but I just tap it along, and so I'm not long at all.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. And a bit of a left field question here for question three. Favourite movie?
Favourite movie would be, that's a very good question. It would either be Hidden Figures, The World's Fastest Indian, which is about a motorbike bloke from New Zealand. Maybe Hacksaw Ridge. There you are. There's three.
Yeah.
They're all they're my favourite movies because they're true.
Yep. And
you've probably never heard of any of them.
Oh, the Fastest Indian. I'm a fan of the Fastest Indian. I like that movie. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. All right. Question number four. You're on the first tee box. You're standing over the ball. What are you thinking?
What am I thinking? That's a very good question. I don't think a lot about it. It becomes just sort of automatic. I don't get that many nerves. Maybe just putting a rhythmic swing on it without trying too hard.
Yeah, I like it. Very nice. And question number five, let's get us home here. Have you had a hole-in-one?
I never have, no, but I can beat that in spades.
Okay.
Now listen to this. I've had two albatrosses on the same course, 2 years apart, on the same hole with the same club. on the par 5 7th at the East Course at Royal Melbourne. I've had an albatross on the par 5 7th with the same club and 2 years apart on the same course.
Yeah, wow. And were both the approach shots in from the same spot or different spots?
Well, you get it in the middle,
so that's going to be in the middle, isn't it?
Well, they're on the fairway.
You've just given us two achievements there in golf that I don't think anybody will accomplish.
I'd like to know anyone in the world who's done that.
Yeah, that's right.
Two 4-irons into the hole on the same course, on the same hole, 2 years apart. Yeah, and playing with people who could verify that.
That's fantastic. I love it. That's great. That's why we like this ice-breaking segment, so we can get to know the
I reckon that makes a hole-in-one just kid stuff.
Yeah. Very much. But you don't get your, do you get your name on the board in the clubhouse for that?
I was playing I was playing in the daily competition or whatever called, you know. But this was many years ago. This was like 30 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. Yep, 20, 30 years ago.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it was a comp, yep.
Yeah, great.
I was a guest because I'm not a member at Royal Melbourne. Oh, no. They wouldn't have me as a member. No.
I mentioned in the intro, your real name is John, or your first name is John.
Yep.
So how did Sam, as a nickname, come up for you?
Now you will never have heard of any of these people, but Bob Davis was a coach, my first coach at Geelong, and we used to watch in the 60s, see, you wouldn't have been born. In the 60s, we used to watch a show called The Jackie Gleason Show, and Jackie Gleason was had a variety show, and he had an orchestra leader called Sammy Spear, and Jackie Gleason used to say when he'd finished his monologue at the start of the show, he used to say to Sammy Spear, a little bit of travelling music, Sam, and away we go. And I said that to the coach one day because he watched the show and he said, yes, a little bit of travelling music, Sam, and away we go out to training. And we went out. That's how it stuck. I know it's pathetic, right. But I couldn't put it. It's a wonder I couldn't make up a better story than that, but that's how it started.
Most nicknames start with a similar story, I guess. They come out of nowhere.
All the ones that stick are always lame, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Very good. A footy player, you debuted for Geelong as an 18-year-old and went on to have a massive career, 300-plus first-grade games or over, 16, 17 years?
Over 18 years. I missed the equivalent of 5 years of football with injury. I missed 100 games with injury, and we used to play 20 games a season, so I had a lot of injuries. And I was pretty battle-scarred by the end of it all, yeah.
I'll bet.
So having a career in footy for 17 years means you would have produced a fair amount of highlights. What would be your top highlight playing footy?
Well, we made a lot of finals. I never played. I've got a feeling I'm going to sneeze. You can't believe that, can you? getting a handkerchief ready. I'm not going to sneeze. We played in a lot of finals. I never played in a grand final. The only chance I had to play in a grand final was in 1967, but in the first quarter of a semi-final, I lost a kidney. I had my kidney ruptured, and I was kneed in the side, either accidentally or on purpose, I don't know, in the first quarter of the game, and so I lost my kidney and I spent three or four weeks in hospital. So that year we played in a grand final, but I was in hospital, so I couldn't play. So that's the only chance I had to play in it. But I played, I was, as you said, selected, which was a great honour, Team of the Century. I was one of the members of that. So when you consider that's over 100 years, to be one of the 18 selected is probably... Yeah. Some achievement, anyhow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take that. So it was yourself, Eddie McGuire, and Trevor Marnoway who started the footy show back in '94.
Yep.
And spent 25 years live on air. That's a huge accomplishment in itself. How how did the idea come about, and what did it take to get that up and running?
Well, Eddie, who is a star, no matter what you think of Eddie, he's a fantastic operator. He put the show together along with a comedian called Trevor Marmalade and I, and we were given 6 weeks to on the station. We were given 6 weeks to see if anyone would watch it. And after 6 weeks, we had a fair following, so they gave us another 6 weeks, and that went to 12 weeks. And the first sponsor, no one had sponsored us, the first sponsor was a massage parlor called Top of the Town. They sponsored us. And then after 12 weeks, it started to go, and it just grew and grew, and it the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, a bit like us, mate. We're on
that's right.
As well ourselves.
We started the same year as my friend Fatty Vaughton, who did the Sydney Footy Show. Yeah, and he's a good man and a very good golfer too, the Fat, I call him.
Yeah,
so he started that show up in Sydney. So we were... And every Logies that came, we had dual competitions to see who win the Logies. But
Oh, good fun. It sounds like it was probably just yesterday when that was starting up. But really, 25 years in that industry is massive. And being a part of Channel 9 for that long as well, and that's definitely another one of the accomplishments to tick off.
Well, I don't know that I'm successful, but I'm a survivor.
I got you. It's one way to put it, I suppose. So now on to another important topic, golf. You know, obviously yes. We've got a golf podcast here, and we'd love to talk about golf. And it's definitely bitten us, the golf bug, and sounds like it has you as well. But how did you get into the game? When did that come about for you?
Well, you're going to think this is a shocking name-dropping exercise, but I used to live at a seaside resort. My parents had a house down at a place called Point Lonsdale, which is down on the rip where the entrance to the bay from the Southern Ocean and into Port Phillip Bay, and that's where Point Lonsdale is. And a man called Peter Thompson used to have a holiday house there, and he used to go down and stay with his manager of the time, a man called Harry Young, who was a professional wrestler. And Harry Young was Peter Thompson's manager way back in the day. And when I was about 8 or 9 or 10, a friend of mine who was the same age as me, we used to wander around with Peter Thompson and Harry Young at the golf course at Point Lonsdale. And sometimes we'd have a hit with him, and he'd give us a stick, and we'd have a hit. And so after that, that's how I got into it, playing with the great Peter Thompson, who was... we were just kids, and he didn't mind us wandering around.
What age were you?
Yeah, about 10 or 11. About that. And so that's how I started playing.
And played all through, you know, being a kid. And
I've been through my football career, and played off a handicap of 2 at a place called Riversdale. They have a great amateur tournament called the Riversdale Cup, which I played in for several years until... The qualifying handicap was almost scratch. It used to be about 3 or 4 or 5, and I used to get in on that basis, and then it became very popular nationwide, and probably is the most prestigious amateur tournament in Australia, maybe, I think. Riversdale Cup, it's called.
And if obviously,
if you haven't heard of it, it's probably not the most prestigious amateur handicap.
I'm sure one of our members would have heard of it.
They would have heard of it.
Like a hawk,
you're a very good amateur golfer, you would have either played in it or heard of it.
And so you played footy, obviously, through junior years as well. Was there ever a time where it was a choice between golf or footy? Footy was always it for you?
Yeah. Now, as you would well know, there's golfers, there's good golfers, and then there's real good golfers. And, I was a good golfer, but there's plenty better. And the people who think they are good at golf would get a whipping by, when you play with blokes who play off +6 and +7, you just realise how insignificant and how mediocre you are. But it's all relative, I suppose. I don't suppose they could play football or do a podcast like you boys.
Yeah, I don't think we're either of us are in that boat, being in the, on the plus side of the handicap. So we're dead set. You know, a couple of hackers that just love the game. It's really cool to hear just, I suppose, the backstory and how you started in golf and also, you know, obviously footy taking over for you and always, it sounds like that was always the goal for you.
No, I used to love it. It was a great relaxation. It's a lot of very good AFL players are very good golfers as well. So it's a great relaxation. It's probably the most polarized sport you can get when you play a tough, hard, relentless game of pushing into people and belting them and sweating, to go out onto a golf course and have to be serene and calm and measured. And can't get a more paradoxical couple of combination sports to play.
Yep. No. Ah, the serenity. So we talked about in the start here, we can't really comprehend, you know, this thing as we're up in New South Wales, but being in Melbourne must just suck at the moment, right?
I hate to say this because Melbourne is a great city and, you know, one of the most livable cities. It's up there every year and worldwide is where you'd like, and so with Sydney, I suppose. But this government down here is disgraceful. They are corrupt. They lie. They are completely incompetent. And this started 3 months ago when the Premier said that he put a ban on golf and we could never work out why, and they said it was for health reasons, and then because
then
they
came
are
out, they said it wasn't for health reasons,
that's
didn't they?
Exactly. They are the most disgraceful, disingenuous liars that I reckon govern any country or state in the world. They are a disgrace, and they have crippled this city here. They have a unrealistic lockdown, which we know that the pandemic is very serious. New South Wales have had 90 deaths. I think South Australia have had 20. Queensland's had 30. Tasmania's had one. And Melbourne's had 730 through ineptness, stupidity, and corruption. They are a disgrace. And to lock down a city without any cautious or responsible opening of any industry or hospitality, and my thing is golf. You cannot get a safer recreation than that's golf. Right. You never, even when there's no pandemic, you never touch anyone. You never stand next to them. You don't breathe on them. You meet them in the tee. You don't have to shake hands if you don't want to in the pandemic. You get to the course on your own. You have a predetermined hit-off time, and you never get near anyone. And to say that you can't play golf, and they're still saying we can't play golf down here. Every other state, you've got me going, don't wind me up. every other state in Australia can play golf. Every other course in Victoria is allowed to play, except us in the metropolitan area here in Melbourne. They are the most disgraceful liars and corrupt people running this state that you'll ever see.
So I had a comment on this early on in the piece when my club misinterpreted the rules from Golf Australia early on and shut down for it was only a few days, and obviously, you know, understood the rules in a better sense in a few days' time and open back up. But when they opened back up, the restrictions around how you play, rocking up 5 minutes before your tee time or 10 minutes before your tee time, going up to the window, paying your money, walking straight to the first tee and hitting off.
Don't touch anyone. You don't speak to anyone. You just use your own clubs. You don't. And
my one person to a car, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
One person to go. Now, what my great bugbear is, where is Golf Australia? Where is Vic Golf? Yeah. Why are the golf authorities going to the government? The dog grooming industry is opening next week. Dog grooming. You can go and have your dog washed and clipped. Public swimming pools are opening in the week after next. So, you know, kids in there swimming and spitting and pissing on everyone. And yet you can't go and play golf. It is absolutely criminal. Someone should take them to court and charge them with treachery.
I saw one of your latest tweets was around calling out the golf clubs their members. Yeah.
Why isn't Vic Golf or Australian Golf on behalf of the golfers in Melbourne or Victoria up in arms about this? Everyone else complains about climate change and Black Lives Matter and the dog grooming people are jumping up and down saying we can't clip our dogs and people can't go to the hedgerow. Where is the golf? There's hundreds of thousands of people who play golf. It's not an elitist sport by any means. There's plenty of public courses where battlers go around and just love the open air and a bit of exercise and recreation. It is absolute criminal. I don't know where Golf Australia or Golf Victoria are. They should be ashamed of themselves for not pushing the case.
So I've got a couple of colleagues that work.
Settle
in,
down,
in
man.
Melbourne.
I'm going to have to settle down. You're wearing me up. I'll get excited.
I'll take over for a little bit if you want and have a bit of a yarn. But I've got a few colleagues that work in Melbourne and live in Docklands in that area.
That's where I am.
Yeah, and they get out for the hour's worth of exercise and
an hour.
And they let us know that there's so many people out walking at the moment. Right, fantastic that they get exercise. I understand that, but there's so many people out walking at the moment that walking down the pathway, you're crossing paths all the time. Golf, you're always going that way. You're separating yourselves, and there's so many restrictions that you could put in place to help that happen. So
it is pathetic, mate. You go down to a recreation reserve, and there's 500 people with dogs. They're all standing around throwing balls out to the dogs. The dogs go and get the balls. The people are all standing around in groups. It is golf is the most the safest. There's not one person that's contracted the coronavirus on a golf course. It is mindless, and he is deceitful. The premier, he is a disgrace.
Yeah, it's one of those things we really. And as I said before, we can't really fathom it because we're in New South Wales, but it's difficult to watch all the same because we've got so many members in our group that voice their opinion, they talk about it, and they're in a similar boat to yourself. So we feel for you all the same, and I suppose urge those involved that can have some say.
The passive bystanding of the clubs and the golf organisations is probably just as bad. Why they're not demanding to give, that, as I say, the government lied and said it was about health reasons you couldn't play, has nothing to do with health. It is just not letting people, just not opening up ones. Why can't you go fishing? Why can't you go out in a boat? Why can't you stand on a sailboard? Why can't you windsurf? I mean, it's extraordinary. Mm. And we put up with it. Things that you are allowed to do in this day and age in 2020 have suddenly become illegal. You think about it.
Yeah, exactly. I get you.
I know you're not thinking about it, like, because you couldn't give us stuff because you can play golf. We can't.
Yeah, we do. It's obviously because of our members that are in Melbourne that we really, really feel for that. And for us, we've got sponsors that are from Melbourne as well. So our Cobra Puma rep lives in Melbourne and works down there, and we can't get down there to see him. You know, we want to get down there, meet him, and go through that experience with him, and just sit face to face and have a beer and talk about the situation at hand. We'd love to.
Look, traveling across the board. Look, there's very good reasons for probably doing a lot of things. There is not one logical, sensible, credible idea of wisdom that says you can't play golf. No one can say, well, look, it's dangerous because of this reason. They can't give one credible, legitimate reason, and still we are not allowed to play, and we put up with it because basically we abide the law, and we're not into civil disruption, civil disobedience. We don't like to fight with people or burn. If you're in America, they would loot the stores. They would have burned them to the ground by now. But no, we don't do that here. We're waiting for some sense to drift and permeate into the people who run this state.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that comes sooner rather than later, mate, because we feel the passion down the screen, mate. We feel that. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. All right. Well, do we want to let that one slide now? We good? Is there anything
slide? I'm not sure what else I could say. I can't be any stronger, or else I'll get you sued.
Well, let's take it back to golf, all right?
Let's get back to it.
Who's your most favourite celebrity player you've ever had around with?
A celebrity player or pro? I've played with
either or both.
Yeah. Well,
you get out with Shane Warne a bit, I believe.
Shane. Yep. I play a lot of golf. He's a very good golfer. Had a hole in one on the 16th at Augusta. And when the pin was up on the right-hand side, you know that, don't you?
Oh, wow. That's brilliant.
Oh, he had a, you know, in the week after the Masters some years ago, he had a hole-in-one on the 16th. Yep. So that's his great claim to fame. Is it, he's a very good golfer. I've played with – I used to go over to to Perth when Tony Rosenberg, who was a golf promoter, used to run the Heineken Classic, played with a lot of the pros that came out there, went over there for many years in a row and played in the pro-ams with a lot of people, different people. Who else? Well, I've played with plenty of people. Can't tell you who the great players I've played with, but there's been plenty of them.
I probably should have asked you this question after you were going down the screen a bit. Have you ever broken a club on the course?
Can you
keep your cool?
It's a very good question because, you know, basically people who play contact sport and who are competitive by nature and when you play football, if you're having a bad day, you can belt the first little bloke you see and that gives you a bit of a, that gets rid
That's
of it all.
Nice.
But in golf, it's a battle. I used to have a very bad temper. Calms you down a bit because you think, why are you getting annoyed at this? You should be enjoying it. But I was very competitive and probably was a very bad tempered at golf. Broke a few clubs. Broke a few clubs, but threw a few clubs. Happy to say all that because I don't do it anymore. I have a little invective and I do a little bit of cussing every now and again with my friends, but that's all we probably just swear a little loud. That's about all we do these days.
I've heard a good saying that a good club toss is critical to the game of golf.
if you can afford it. Yeah, if you can afford to getting new shafts in them or retraving them out of the lake or upending them.
If you can just throw straight down the fairway.
That's it.
That way you don't have to walk backwards or sideways to go and get it. You can just.
But of course, they're pretty savage on that at clubs, particularly. Well, not private clubs, but clubs that have members. They're pretty savage on that now because, they want in this day and age, we've got to be pristine and pretty publicly responsible. So that usually, because a lot of people these days tip you in for report you for breaking the rules and doing things. Not that they do that with me, but I know it happens. And
On that note, then, is there anything that you've seen on a golf course that really grinds your gears? Slow play or players calling out four when your ball's not anywhere near them, or they haven't even hit yet, is there anything that grinds your gears on a golf course?
Well, the ignorance is annoying on a golf course. We're all pretty. We've got good etiquette, as in. If we are holding a field up or holding the people up behind us, we've always, the people I play with about a dozen people every week, regular people. I play a couple of times a week with them. And we're always conscious of just not holding people up behind you because you get behind people who have no interest in who is behind and what they're doing. And there's a certain, you'll love this, there's group of people who there's a certain people from different countries play a different way. There's a certain population from a particular country play golf who are the most ignorant and bad-mannered people that play golf, because they just don't are not aware of any you will know who I'm speaking about. you will know who I'm speaking about. But they are the people that really annoy you when they have no interest about the ethics of the game.
Yes, that's right.
And they'll and in the end, what happens is you'll someone in the group will ring up the clubhouse, and out will come the bloke in the marshal's cart, and he'll walk up to him, and he'll drive up to him, and that's like red rag to a bull.
Dart a 3-wood at their shins. I heard that.
Yeah, well, that's right. And then, but I've never been to China, so I don't know what it's like over there. But
All right. Oh, that's good to round out a bit of golf there, I suppose. Earlier this year, you know, you finished up with Channel 9, or not long ago, you finished up with Channel 9. What's the plans for you for the rest of 2020 and beyond?
Well,
you've got a podcast that you do as well.
Yeah, we do a podcast.
You cannot be serious. Yep.
You cannot be serious. And I don't know how, what platform or what bracket you're under. We're under sport and current affairs. I think we're very successful. We don't make any money out of it. We don't have sponsors. We don't like to be beholden to someone's idea of what we should say. We like to say what we want to say. So therefore, we don't get intimidated into being careful about what we say. We're always careful about what we say. Although we got sued.
Your co-hosts love to give it to you every week. It's funny to listen to. They love to give it to you, mate.
That's it. No, that's
easy. Write a reply. You can have a dig at them while you're there off air.
That's it. No. So that's all I do. It keeps me interested, and I've very happy to be off the television. I really enjoyed it when I was doing it, but there's a finite run.
You've still got your voice. Still got a voice
and they get into a bit of trouble by having an opinion about things, particularly about I've always been where I like to have an opinion about people. I don't care where they come from or what their modus operandi is. If you ask me an opinion about someone, I have no interest what their race or their gender or their sexual preference or proclivities are. It makes no difference to me. I just talk about people, and as soon as you cross the line about speaking about any of those groups, suddenly you're branded and put into a pigeonhole. You know all the different, you're put into a pigeonhole of being a racist, a sexist, homophobic, transphobic, whatever. But I just, if I'm asked a question about a person, I'll give an opinion, whether it be good or bad. And it makes no difference who they are or where they come from. But you'll find that there's people who have agendas and people who are out there to
get easily offended.
So that's just the way it is.
Now, before we sort of wrap up a little bit here, I see you're into your Mustangs. You've got a couple of Mustangs.
I have.
Yeah. Well, I've ones got have a, you got? You've got a '60s one. Well, I couldn't quite figure out which one it is. Yeah.
I've got a 1967 left-hand drive manual convertible car, which I drive very regularly. And I have a, I don't know if you know about what a Boss 429 Mustang is, but.
Yeah, I used to work for Ford. It's nice, yep.
Will you Google? Well, that's right. For the unwashed who are watching this, you Google a Boss 429 Mustang, and I have one of those, and that's the most collectible. One of the most collectible cars in the world, actually, I think there's black? About three.
Mm? What is a black? What color?
No, it's crimson plum red or plum crimson. Yeah, it's the original color, and it's in absolute concourse condition.
And your '67 one is what, white or
white,
creamy?
Yep, white.
Yeah, right. Nice. Very good, mate. Well, look, thank you very much again for taking the time to chat with us. We keep it pretty casual on the podcast and our live chat, or our interviews. So, we really appreciate you taking your time, and I threw it out there, a message to you just on the off chance that you're available and you're happy to chat, and you've followed through, and we really appreciate you taking the time, mate. So thank you.
No,
is there anything else you want to
The only reason I hesitate about doing these sort of things is because we're doing this on what is this called? Scope or Skype? What is this called?
StreamYard.
That'll just get. When you said, "Do you want to do?" You said to me, "You want to do it on the phone?" You said, "No, we're doing it on Skype or something." I said,
"Yeah."
This to me is how this works. I got no idea. I had to get someone to help me to connect all this up. So that's the only.
Well, we appreciate their time too.
So anyhow, I hope it hasn't been lost on our Victorian friends. Your Victorian friends. They've got to ramp up some phone calls to their club. Mind you, there's no one there. And just say you've got to petition the government. It'll be too late, but they are out of control. The government, and they are being disgraceful, acting disgracefully.
All right, well, mate, appreciate your time. Hopefully, you get back on the golf course very soon, mate. We'd love to see how you get on when you get back to the game and the game that we all love. So, thank you very much, and really appreciate the time tonight.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, I just pressed something to get this off, or you'll probably hear me speaking in the background for the next hour.
No worries.
Okay.
I can see if I can kick you out. But, yeah, all good, mate. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Problem, cheers, mate. All the best.
Cheers, mate. See ya.
We're three golf tragics. We're weekend packers, and we love to go to golf. And I think that's...
I showed you guys that on the weekend.
Yes, you did. We'll get to that shortly.